Hello, welcome to the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll be talking with community members about how to live our most meaningful and fulfilling lives. For an overview of the Rubik's program, please listen to the introductory episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. This month, we're going to talk about the spiritual category of mental health and wellness. I'm really excited to have with me this month Howard Snyder, who I met through a series of fortuitous events, including the fact that he was introduced to me by Marcia Gunsler, who was a guest on this very podcast for two episodes back in March. Marcia Gunsler Stevens, head of the Stamp Student Union at University of Maryland. So through a connection with her, Howard and I did a workshop at a girls' school here in Baltimore, St. Tim's School for Girls. And we really hit it off. And I thought that he would be the perfect guest to talk about the spiritual category of wellness and mental health for reasons which I think you will be very obvious to all of the listeners. So Howard, thank you for being with us. And I wanted to just let you introduce yourself briefly and then we can get started with our conversation.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Z. And I'll just very briefly say that I professionally have been a general practice lawyer, a financial planner, and most recently, over the last couple years, I went through a spiritual formation training program at Shalem Institute in Washington, D.C., to prepare me to help other people to follow their spiritual path in an effort to develop that part of their lives. We all often talk about mind, body, and spirit, and we seem to pay a lot of attention to mind and body, but sometimes not so much to the spirit. And so I went through that program, and I've been finished for about 6 months or so, and I'm working with a number of people in my local community, which is Easton, Maryland. And I'm enjoying being with people on a one-on-one basis to basically listen together to God's spirit to see where their journey might take them in the spiritual realm. And I am happy to do that. I have had to go to virtual meetings with all of these people, just as we're doing now. And I miss the one-on-one in-person kind of meeting to meet with these people and discuss their spiritual journey. But I have to say, I'm getting more used to doing the virtual approach simply because everybody has to do it at the moment. And so we just need to follow that. But I appreciate this opportunity to share about my training and also to share what I'm doing at the moment. So I can just say that one last thing about me, when we were talking about doing this program together, I was thinking about, you know, how I got started in all of this work. And oddly enough, it started for me after rereading a baptismal service from my local Episcopal church that has the following sentence in it. You're standing there and watching somebody being baptized, either an infant or an adult, and the priest asks everybody in the congregation, will you be, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? To me, that presented a spiritual challenge to me, and I felt that there was a responsibility there that I could take up, and this training at Shalem has given me the tools to try to do that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm very grateful.
So a few things you've said so far. First of all, mentioning that we do find ourselves in a difficult time in the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're all finding new solutions and ways to connect with others as well as make sense of our daily lives. And you also mentioned being part of a community where you express your spirituality. And you also mentioned children. And of course, you know, my professional commitment is to helping families raise their children up into so that they can live meaningful and fulfilled and physically and also socially and emotionally healthy lives. And that kind of calls to mind one of the statements that we evaluate in the spiritual part of the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Program, which focuses on finding meaning in daily activities, both in solitude and in community. And you and I have talked quite a bit about finding meaning in community and in solitude, both through activities like you just described, but then specifically in nature and outdoor activities, which are something to engage in right now because of the pandemic. That's kind of a primary way people can be outside. So can you talk about spiritual activity in outdoor environments and how that's important to you and a process or sort of approach that you have to that?
Yes. Thank you. Very good question. I would say a couple things. You know, in any journey toward a deeper relationship with your spiritual life and with God, I would say that there are two fundamental ways of doing that, and that is accessing scripture and meditating on that. And the other way is to go into nature, because nature is God's creation. And so I would say a couple things about my most recent experience with that by saying that when I was in high school and college, I paid very little attention to poetry. And with this course that I had just completed 6-7 months ago, I was reintroduced to that whole area of literature. And I must say, I was overwhelmed with, particularly from people like Mary Oliver, who is a famous poet who died about a year and a half ago. But I would just mention for your audience an absolutely wonderful book by hers that I have read to the point of the pages being pretty worn. But the book is called Devotions, by Mary Oliver. And in it, she has a collection of poems that she had written from the 90s through 2017. And she talks a lot about the animals in nature and how we can learn a lot about them by simply being ourselves, because that's what they do. They are always being themselves. They're not trying to be anybody else or anything else. And I think that's a good way to live, if we can simply be ourselves and not try to be something else or someone else. The other reference that I would share with you and with your audience is a little book I found through my yoga teacher called Your Guide to Forest Bathing. And it is a wonderful little volume that might just read a couple sentences from it.
Yes,
to give you the flavor of what it's talking about. It encourages people to get out into nature in a very directed kind of way so that they can experience it with senses. And so it says, when we're out in the woodlands, we walk slowly so we can focus our senses on the many ways the living forest surrounds and touches us. We feel the breeze on our skin. We hear the gurgling voices of the brook and the calls of the birds. We see the movement of the trees in the wind. By giving attention to your senses, you turn down the volume of the cacophony of inner thoughts. Your senses bring you into the present moment. So this guide is wonderful. It gives you step-by-step instructions as to how to do this. It originated in Japan, but has been brought to this country by a number of practitioners. And what it really does is it gives you a guide by which you can be in the woods, in the forests, hearing the different noises and seeing the different kinds of foliage, etc., in a very intentional way, being very present to all of that and not thinking about anything else. It helps you to get rid of all those, you might call them monkey thoughts that go on in your head all the time. But it could be a very useful tool for people who want to learn how to get more in touch with God through nature.
Mm-hmm. And you have mentioned the word God a couple of times, and you and I have talked at some length about the idea of feeling a connection to a guiding power beyond ourselves. And the reason we've talked at some length about it is because for various reasons, I have had a little more trouble using the word God to describe that connection. And so I actually use the word Gaia. Gaia is a word that's used to refer to the sort of overall connectedness of all living things on Earth. And that is the guiding power beyond myself that I currently feel most connected with. And others use the word God. And to me, it has felt since we met that you and I experience an overlap in our understanding of that. And so when you use that word God, especially because there will be people, hopefully, that are listening to our conversation that may not use that word to describe the guiding power in their spiritual background, can you talk a little bit about, I know this is a big question, very big question, probably worth a whole lifetime of conversation, but talk about that word God and how it describes feeling a connection to a guiding power beyond ourselves.
Well, language, as you were just saying, is very important, and different people use different words and language to describe the same thing. And, you know, I am totally comfortable with using words like the divine as opposed to God, or the Native American Indians use the word Great Spirit. The Great Spirit. So I'm totally comfortable with using those words, because the work that I'm trying to do involves a huge amount of me meeting people exactly where they are and not using language that's threatening or using resources that are, oh, I'm not ready for that, you know, that type of thing. But I do believe it's very important for people to be aware of and to develop, to the extent that they are ready to, the spiritual side of their lives. There's an interesting quote out there by a French philosopher called Teilhard de Chardin, who, and you've probably heard this, but he says, "We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey." And so what that says to me, if I can get my arms around that, is that we are spiritual beings in a lot of ways, and that we are meant to develop that side of ourselves as we go through life, whether we can do it on our own, et cetera, or whether we need help. You know, I realized that, you know, like 3 years ago, that I needed some spiritual guidance myself. So I sought out a spiritual guide, and I am still with her 3 years later. I just had a session with her yesterday. And I think that if you're searching for a divine component, let's put it that way, in your life, that sometimes you need a little guidance, a little help. And that's what I've been trained to do, and hopefully I can do well with the people that are put in my path.
So So through your work with Shalem and the folks that you've been working with, what kind of overlap have you encountered, for example, in First Peoples cultures or the other spiritual backgrounds that you mentioned? What sort of common themes have you found that various backgrounds assign to Gaia, Divine, Great Spirit, Yahweh, whatever, Allah, whatever word that those backgrounds are using, what kinds of themes and connections and overlaps have you identified in your study?
I would answer that first in one word, and then I'll try to say more. I would say the word love. I believe that no matter where you're coming from, no matter what denomination or religion you profess, that it all starts with love. And I believe that a spiritual journey is a process that goes from a very fearful place and an anxiety-filled place because of things that are going on in your life that you can't control, to a place of love coming from the divine, coming from your neighbor, coming from your friends and family, coming from everybody that you're connected with, and I would say finally coming from nature itself. And anyone who would practice this forest bathing discipline, I think would over time feel the love and vibration of love in nature itself. I would also say that another word that I would focus on in addition to love is compassion. I believe that there is a huge amount of compassion in this world that goes unnoticed, because there's so much going on that is very non-compassionate, and that makes news. That makes news, whereas the compassion items don't seem to make as much news. And so I think those two words are what I find common in just about whether you're talking Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, what have you. I believe they both have a lot of those two things.
I think that's very moving. Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's something we should focus on every day. And I think a lot of people are focusing more on it now that some of those distractions are falling away. I think, you know, there's an interesting experience I've had during this pandemic where people are certainly anxious and fearful and distressed, both in the immediate time frame and in the long time frame. But also, I'm finding that as difficult of a time as we are all certainly experiencing, folks are also finding new sources of joy and finding the ability to not only be compassionate more regularly to themselves, but also to their immediate and broader communities. And as the distractions of many of our previous activities, you know, sports and restaurants and things that are all very important and should come back when it's safe, some of them were distracting us from our loving relationships and interactions with everybody around us. So I think you're absolutely right. Those are connecting principles. And I'm wondering what kind of strategies you implement to intentionally live according to those kinds of values of being loving and compassionate and bringing your other value sets very intentionally into your daily life. Because eventually, as we're seeing, we are going to get back into more pre-corona rhythms. And we're going to want to intentionally bring these sources of love and compassion and joy into our after-corona rhythm. So how can we intentionally do that?
Well, I would hope that one of the ways we would do that is we would learn from this time of what I would call downtime and reflective time, that we would learn some lessons now that we could take into whatever our new normal is going to be. And I think one of them needs to be humility in our interactions with people, because, you know, I think there can be and has been, you know, a good deal of violence, hatred, mistreatment, et cetera, that I hope we can move away from. And I think also a new sense of being comfortable with uncertainty, because that's what we're doing right now with uncertainty. I hope we can become more comfortable with that. And one of the ways that I'm trying to do right now to prepare for reentry is I am calling people, Zooming people. I am writing notes to people and saying, how are you? I love you. I miss you. And I think that that's a very concrete thing that we can all do. I'm staying in touch with, you know, close family, and I'm also praying for the well-being of all these people that I'm talking about, just asking for the divine spirit to be with them and to comfort them. And I'm also doing meditation work where I can go into silence and I can lift up people and I can focus on things that are meaningful and try to get rid of all the other thoughts that are going on in my head about the pandemic and what people are doing and not doing. And so I think another strategy would be to take time and silence to just focus on some of those issues and prepare yourself to not go back to what you were doing before.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your yoga teacher in the forest bathing book. I was reminded of a meditation that we often do in the yoga world. And it's four words, yoga chitta vritti nirodha. And it means yoga is the process of getting control over the fluctuations of the mind. And so that strategy of getting control over your thoughts and your behaviors, I think, is at the core of that strategy of intentionally living your values, kind of finding ways to remember the love and the compassion. And I wanted to also ask, besides love and compassion, as we're wrapping up, what is a collection, you can give me a very brief list of a collection of values that you have noticed sort of broadly bubbles up in your work in Shalane and in your various spiritual communities. And again, we talked about sort of you have familiarity with a broad set of spiritual backgrounds. So I talked about what the overlap is in the sort of divine power. What is the overlap in values that you've observed across a broad range of people that you've been in spiritual community with?
So, Dr. Z, I would say that one of the most important things I've learned is active listening. Listening is so important in this work, and it's so important in our lives. You know, the old Saul saying about God gave you two ears and one mouth for a good reason.
I like that. Yep.
I really strongly believe that we as a society don't listen to each other enough. When you're talking to somebody and they're looking past your ear to see what's going on in the rest of the room, to see if there's a more interesting conversation going on. So I would say listening. I would say creating safe places for people to open up and talk about their spiritual lives. That's critical. People who are uncomfortable are not going to talk to you. And asking very open-ended questions. No yes and no questions. You ask open-ended questions and let the people go with it. And it's amazing what people will tell you if you give them the opportunity. I mean, I know you do that in your business.
Well, those of us who focus on it do. I'm sure you can identify healthcare professionals who haven't done it. We all have to work at it, and we all have to start with love and compassion in order to be able to listen. So I think that's a great place for us to wrap up our conversation. It's always really moving and also instructional to talk to you, and I'm so happy to know you and so thankful that you were willing to talk with us today for this month's Rubik's podcast. Howard, everybody, please do listen to the Rubik's podcast on Dragon Digital Radio, which has many, many great shows on Podbean and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. And we'll be back next month. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll return next month for more strategic conversation about how to live our most meaningful and fulfilling lives.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.